likely to turn with the book of Proverbs this afternoon, and that's where we're going to be doing a great deal of our study, the book of wisdom, the book of Proverbs. And actually, the gist of the lesson this afternoon is primarily focused at relationships and primarily focused at the married relationship. So if you're married, I'm talking to you, Randall. He's up there grinning. But also, there is kind of a side, subtle message that I have for also those of you who are not married. I'm talking to Joshua and AJ and Joel and Jessica and to Angela and to Renee and to Jason and some others. And Elizabeth, I'm not going to forget you up on the front. Because I want to talk to you too, and I want you to listen to what Solomon has to say. What I want to do this afternoon is talk about these relationships, and one of the things that I think you would probably readily agree is we need to work on it. And what we need to do is raise the level, and the way we raise the level is we come to understand what God has to say and to follow godly principles. And I think you would agree that whether we're talking about marriage or we're talking about the neighborhood or we're talking about the local church and relationship with brethren, that when I get down to really applying some of this stuff, it would apply to any of those relationships. So it's something for all of y'all today. And I think you would agree that as Christians, what we ought to do is we ought to strive for the highest level in every one of those relationships, especially in marriage. And the way we do that is by looking at the godly principles. And what I want to do today is look at the book of Proverbs and apply it, especially in a minute, to marriage. And see what Solomon says. And I think you would all agree that if we would apply what Solomon says, that it would really work. And the reason why is because what Solomon says comes from God. Now, first of all, I want you to turn with me to the first chapter. We're going to read, first of all, portions of the first three chapters of the book of Proverbs. And it's interesting that Solomon, what he does a great deal with this, is that he personifies wisdom. In fact, when we get to the second chapter, we have Lady Wisdom in the market square, and she's crying aloud, trying to get people to listen. And the result is that if you accept what Solomon says, you can have a pretty happy life. But if you reject what he says, then there will be consequences to your rejection of these important principles. Beginning in Proverbs chapter 1, and beginning with verse 1, it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel, to understand a proverb and an enigma, to the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." One of the observations I want to make about life is that God expects us to be successful in our marriage without any previous experience. In fact, God expects us to be successful in raising children without any previous experience. One of the most frightening things of when that first child is born, Alton, is that you don't have a manual. You know? There's no manual that comes with this kid, this crying baby, to tell you exactly what you need to take care of this child. But God does give us, in a sense, a manual. And He does, without previous experience, tell us in this great book how we can be successful in our marriage relationships and how we can be successful even in other relationships, especially even with our children. The key is wisdom. To receive, verse 3, he says, the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. He gives it to give prudence to the simple, that is, to those who have no experience. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. That is, if you're wise, you will listen to the wisdom of Solomon. And furthermore, a wise man of understanding will attain this wise counsel. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but it is a fool that despises and refuses to listen. I have been asked many times, and I don't say this by way of bragging. I hope you understand that. But I've been asked many times, how is it that you had such a smooth transition into married life, and why is it that you have a happy marriage? I'll tell you why. I don't mean to be bragging. It's because when I was 18 years old, and when Nancy was 18 years old, we made good choices. We listened to what Solomon says. Not all together. We weren't perfect. I don't want to create this perfect picture. I've got baggage I don't want you to know about. But by and large, we listened to the wisdom of Solomon. Now I realize that there is providence involved, and I realize that there may be a little luck involved. But nonetheless, the reason why that many people have that smooth transition into the marriage relationship is because they begin to build a foundation before they get married. That's what Solomon is doing here. He says, listen to me. Heed my voice and heed my wisdom. Furthermore, in the 20th verse of the same chapter, he says, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses, at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you, and I will make my words known to you, because I have called you and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. I also will laugh at your calamity, and I will mock you when terror comes, and when your terror comes like a storm, and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, and when distress and anguish come upon you. Now we have Lady Wisdom in the square. It reminds me of Sam Sharp Square in Montego Bay and the times that I've been there street preaching. The people all around, and you've got the speaker, the microphone, and the sound system, and you're trying to get attention of people to listen to you, and others around are handing out tracts. Here is Lady Wisdom in the market square, and she is crying in the streets, and she is begging you to listen. I want to ask you a question. Where do you get your wisdom? Where do you get knowledge about how to live? You know, it absolutely amazes me. In fact, it's interesting that in this discussion, here is Lady Wisdom crying in the streets, but later on, down in verse 26, she says, I'm going to laugh at your calamity, and I will mock when your terror comes. When you don't listen to me, that's what happens. So the question is, where do you get your wisdom? You know what amazes me? You know, we have all kinds of self-help books. You can go down to Half-Price Bookstore, and you can buy all the used ones that are worn out, or you can go to Barnes & Noble and get the latest new one. And it amazes me that we have all kinds of books that are written about marriage and about relationships and about success in life. And some of them are probably worth reading, and some of them I know are not worth reading. And it always amazes me we turn to the self-help books. What really amazes me is when a 16-year-old will listen to worldly friends and listen to the advice of worldly music and listen to the advice of worldly books rather than listening to the wisdom a mom and dad that know better. Or to the wisdom of Solomon that by experience knows a great deal more. You want a good life? Well, it begins by listening to what God says. Because you see, while man's wisdom is always changing, got to sell that next book, right? God's wisdom never changes. There is no better place to go to know how to have a happy marriage than to listen to what God says. And some of that wisdom is in the book of Proverbs. Go to the second chapter. In the second chapter, he says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment, and lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek for her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. I'll stop there. I want you to notice that in the first chapter, the 20th verse, you have Lady Wisdom crying in the streets. She's looking for someone to listen. But it doesn't come automatically. It takes effort to listen and to apply. And that's the implication found in the second chapter. He says, if you cry out for discernment, and if you lift your voice for understanding, if you look for her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, then, he says, you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Young people, it won't come automatically. You need to listen to what your parents say. You need to listen to what Solomon says. And you need to engage at times in the difficult task of doing what is written in God's book. For the Lord gives wisdom, he says in verse 6. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. He guards the path of justice, preserves the way of the saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good path. I want you to notice all the great things that come when you listen to the wisdom of God. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. He guards the path of justice. He preserves the way of the saints. You will understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, and from those who leave the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and are devious in their paths. I had all kinds of opportunities to go that path. I don't mean to be bragging. But most of the time, and probably Mom was pretty lucky, but most of the time, I listened to what Mom said and Dad said. I'm glad I did that. I have no regrets. Because I have seen the lives of those in shambles who refuse to listen to that wisdom. I'm glad that I listened to what Mom and Dad said. Look in the third chapter. In the third chapter, beginning with verse 1, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. Why? Well, you want to live a good long life? He says, for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. First of all, you need to listen to me because it will bring longevity to your life. I mean, it's not a hard and fast rule. I know sometimes things happen, but by and large, this is not a blanket statement, but by and large, it will bring longevity to your life. I mean, the friend that I knew in high school, whose dad brought him a brand new Corvette every time he totaled it out, is probably not going to live very long if he keeps following that same path. I knew a friend like that in high school. His dad, every time he totaled it, he'd go buy him a brand new Corvette Stingray. Make Acey just, you know, cringe to think about it. His dad was a Chevrolet dealer, and he could have all this money, and he would buy this 16-year-old kid this powerful machine, and he would go wreck it, and he'd buy him a new one. Well, Solomon says, if you will listen to me, it will bring length of days. And I'm going to tell you something. Not only that, it will bring a greater chance of happy marriages, a greater chance of happy relationships. If you refuse to drink, if you refuse to engage in promiscuity, you're going to have a better life and length of days, longevity of life, more likely. And then furthermore, he says in verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bring them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Bind this wisdom upon you, and the result of that is that you will have favor with God, but more importantly, which is most important, but also, he says, you will have not only favor with God, but favor with men. What kind of people in the marketplace, whether it's the Dairy Queen, or the school, or wherever you may be, what kind of people, by and large, are they looking for to hire? Those who are dependable and
and those who are honest. Honest and dependable. If you want to be, I hesitate to use the word rich. I use that in quotation marks. I don't mean necessarily monetarily. But if you want to find a sense of fulfillment and success in this world, learn a service and do it well. Learn how to serve others. Learn how to love others and do it well. And you can be successful in this world. Now, I know that's not everything. But Solomon says, if you'll listen to me, if you will listen to my advice, you will have favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. And then in verse 5, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Don't roll your eyes at me, Mom says. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And what happens? It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. In other words, start thinking about tomorrow instead of thinking about today. Plan for tomorrow. Let me tell you something. If your marriage is based on an impulse and feeling, you're headed for trouble. But if it is based upon principles, the high principles that are found in God's Word, then you have a greater likelihood, not any guarantees, of some kind of success. Make choices that will result in good things tomorrow, rather than things that last only for the moment. All right, so I'm through. No, not yet. My question is, do you buy in? Is Solomon telling us the truth? Well, let's see. Let's take a test and see if you bought in. Let's quit preaching and meddle a little bit. First of all, what about your speech? Solomon says, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. So husband and wives, how do you handle controversy? Would this apply to that relationship? And would this describe the spirit of your marriage? Pleasant words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul, and health to the bones? If not, then get in the habit. Because you see, some things, sometimes even said in jest, in reality, are what we really meant in truth, right? So before you open your mouth, make sure that you engage the brain. Be careful what you say. Let me ask you another question. What about your spirit? Solomon says in the book of Proverbs, the 17th chapter, in verse 27, he who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. So what kind of person are you? You fly off the handle when you're criticized? Or do you have this calm spirit about you? And how do you react to disputes? And how do you settle arguments? And how do you settle disagreements in your marriage relationship? How do you do it? Do we sit down and calmly think about it and calmly talk about it? Or does it become a shouting match, as is so often found in so many families? Have you bought in? Is this a description of your relationships? Another question, what about your words? Kind of related to the other two. But here Solomon says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life. You know, if people would just give attention to how they express themselves, it would go a long way in making better marriages. Because you see, words build up
and words can tear down. So how do you talk to each other? Because you see, there is power here in the things that we say to each other and about each other. Here's another one. In the 14th chapter, verses 16 and 17, he says, "A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions is hated." So how are you? What kind of person are you? Are you this arrogant, self-confident, quick-tempered fool? Or do you have a calm spirit? Are you in control when the disagreements come? You know, in the 15th chapter, Solomon says, and I didn't add this to the chart, but in the 15th chapter in verse 1, he says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." And in the same chapter, down in the 18th verse, he says, "A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention." So, mom and dad, husband and wife, how do you handle your disagreements and how do you handle your problems? Calmly? Or with anger? Quick temper? Flying off the handle? Arrogant and self-confident? And I don't mean to brag, folks. And I'm talking to these kids that I talked to a minute ago. When I was 30 years old, I had two kids and I owned my own home. And I was well on my way as a preacher. And I hate to say this, but more and more in our society, I had a father a few years ago that was out back here in the foyer, and he was talking about his daughter, and he said, "My daughter's going to go to school, and she's going to finish school, and she's going to get her degree, and she's going to get her master's so she can work, because statistics say that most exiting girls that graduate from college are marrying men that are 40 years old and older. And the why? Because you can't find a grown-up boy. Because 25-year-old are still acting like 18-year-old rather than 25-year-olds. Well, so what's your attitude? And furthermore, what about conflict? The beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. You hear about that little muskrat, I think it was in Iowa, digging a hole in a dam. The dam broke and the city flooded. The little muskrat creating all that problem. Isn't that kind of what Solomon says here? Just a little release of the water, and before long you have a flood. Therefore, stop the contention before the quarrel starts. Take care of your anger daily. Take care of your problems daily. I remember Nancy's dad used to tell the story. He would preach on this, and he told the story about my mother-in-law and him one day in their early marriage, and they went to bed, and the light was still on in the closet. And he said, "Margaret, would you go turn that light off?" And she said, "No, because you left it on." And he said, "No, you left it on." And the light stayed on all night long. Well, you know, Bud would say, "Don't take care of problems that way. Don't follow me, but rather follow the wisdom given by God." And let me ask you another question: what about priorities? You know, Solomon says, "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred." Put in modern vernacular, it is better to have beans and cornbread with love and peace and joy than it is to have steak and potatoes and have none of that in your home. I know the world, you know, doesn't preach that message. But it is better to have beans and cornbread, beans and rice and beans, and to have peace and joy and happiness in the home than it is to have steak and potatoes and have none of that. Where are your priorities? Is it on your relationship or is it upon your material things? And finally, one more, and then I'm through. He says, better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting with strife. And you know, a lot of people have mansions, but in those mansions, there is no peace and happiness. Now, have you bought in? Do you think if we applied these principles to our marriages, they would be better? Or as far as that's concerned, to any relationship. Not only to marriage, but to our families and to our neighborhood and even to the way in which we treat each other as brethren. We need to learn how to have the right attitude. And we need to learn how to talk to each other. Perhaps you've never obeyed the gospel, or perhaps you have a need this afternoon, some spiritual need. And if that is your need, if we can help you in any way or assist you in any way to make sure that your life is set on the right course, that you're walking with God, if we can encourage you, and if you so desire and you wish to come this afternoon, to come forward and express that need, we certainly would be glad to help you, and we invite you to come. We stand to sit in the